Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me today is John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Hello, and Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
I am, man, I had a chance to be able to take a look back in history at King Henry VIII.
Hmm.
King Henry VIII and how the Church of England began. And I was like, as always,
shocked.
It was over a divorce. And which eventually led to a beheading and then a progression of beheadings.
These beheadings,
I know it. I know. Prior to that, there was hangings, but when it came to divorce, there was beheadings. And we're going to talk about that in the future, because we didn't just get here. When you look at, I'm just looking at my producer's face right now. Everything good?
Everything's good.
Okay. All right.
Just making sure.
Plane is still in flight.
If you just look at history, this is what's important about history. It will cause you to pray. You won't need any motivation to pray. You will not put your trust in any man.
Mm-mm.
You will read intently the Word of God, understanding in its original transcript, it was not flawed.
Right.
And you are dependent upon the Spirit of God to give you the interpretation of what he's saying today to his church.
Mm-hmm.
And if you study history, you will not take pride in anything other than the fact of you'll take a deep, definite cloak of humility. Sure, everything's good. Is something running around? Okay, I will look this way. And so, but yeah, it's just like America, we're just an hour old.
Mm.
So just look at the whole scheme of creation. I mean, some may say 6,000 years, some may say 6,001 years. I don't know. You may have a different view of pain than that, but either way is, you know, man has consistently had issues with his sin nature. And when, you know, they say power corrupts, the absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst thing that we can ever do is put full power in one man's hand.
Mm-hmm.
And the brilliance of what God established with his, obviously he's God, with Israel. You know, he said, you know, I'll be your God and you'll be my people, and I'll speak to you and you'll follow me, and I'll speak to you through my form of government, who's dependent upon me.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, and you have to go and meet with me in my courts, not your courts, in my courts, and the tent of meetings, and I'll chat with you.
Mm.
And if I feel that you're doing well, I'll give you some instruction. If not, they'll drag you out by a rope tied to your leg. When they don't hear your pomegranates and your bells ringing anymore,
right?
It means that, you know, you weren't proper form of government, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's all we need? We just need
some bells.
Pomegranate and some bells. Like, hear the bells ringing. Anyway, so we're going to be talking about... It's good?
Yeah.
Wow. I had another song on my heart yesterday.
Oh, no.
The other song I had in my heart yesterday was...
It's the second song.
Show me the...
Right. It's the second song.
Show me the love. Da, 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 da.
See? See what I'm saying? Second song.
Second, but you know, we're talking about Got Love. Yesterday, we were talking about Got Love.
Mm.
And it's going to be available to a Christian television network audience around the nation and the world based on when Chris lets it know it's going to happen. I can't see him now. Lord, we just ask you for divine revelation and wisdom.
Yes.
We want to welcome our Christian television network audience around the nation, around the world.
Yes.
We want to thank you for all those that are standing with us. Listen, it is our partners. You can scream and yell at darkness all you want to, but till you stand up as the light of the world. Stand up and be the light of the world. Until you stand, so you know, I'm going to partner, I'm going to unify, I'm going to bring John 17:23 together. I'm going to come together in complete unity and standing for what is right, for Jesus, not self-righteousness, but standing up for Jesus, a pillar in the midst of this major storm that's taking place in the earth. Listen, you can do that.
Yeah.
You can do that with a simple $5 a month. You can do that with $10 a month. You can do that with $25 a month. Listen, we're doing this together. This truly is a network that God is building. If he takes his hand off of it, it will stop, and we'll say, are we done? That's totally, yeah. It's cool. It's fine. And or if we sin, we'll say, "Dear God, please forgive us," for we have sinned, and He's a gracious, you know. But the, in the context of that, that you can be a part.
Yeah,
you can be a part. Listen, 97% of the church, anyway, is not even given to God tithes and offerings. You know, begin to just step out, just step out and say, "God, I'm going to begin to trust you." And it very well could be because of what's being promulgated, because there is no hope in a dark message.
No.
But those who are preaching the truth, obviously, that's an average we're talking about, and you probably can find the 3% is what that's where people are preaching the unapologetic word of God and making disciples for Jesus, training and launching, and it just give on this side of the paradigm, because I'm going to be talking about briefly as we're talking answering the question or asking the question and pondering it, and of course now we've been in the question so long it's sort of like rhetorical now, but this is how it all started. You know, are they using Lucifer tips to organize America and the world? And if so, you know, if they are using tips or they are organizing the world and America, what are they doing it for? And I just discovered, we're going to be talking about in today's program, the first and the extra hour, that Mr. George Soros, the father of the daughter who Hillary Clinton's daughters stayed at, and Bill and Hillary stayed at, President Bill Clinton and Hillary, his wife, stayed at when they were getting married. They got married at Georgie's daughter's house. Yeah.
Mm.
You know, Daddy's house. And
Eddie Wallbucks.
Yeah, and if you'll notice, if you go back and look at the BFN Torch, we have a picture of, in one of these questions as we're pondering, we're discovering things, that there's a picture of George and Hillary looking at each other like they're at the prom. I mean, they were in
eyes.
They care deeply about each other.
No doubt.
I don't want to be you know, facetious in the context of that. And you can have two close friends. They just look too close friends. They look like somebody who's following the same teachings.
No doubt.
And they're in agreement, I guess you would say. And so we're going to be talking about this shocker of what's being reported right now, because just like clockwork, here is Hillary's friend showing up, and October 21st, it's reported, is going to show up, George Soros, to the your leaders that you represented. He's going to show up. He's going to bring 100, quote, conservatives, unquote, who he gathered, to come and discuss it with who you say is your conservative folks that have the values that you have as Christians. And he's going to have a chat about the borders and immigration and that type of thing. And it's like, here it goes, bro. This is the systematic easing down of the euro and the storm cloud coming across the water and the currency. And what is it per American now, the debt?
It's like about $50,000 per citizen.
So every and this is including the baby that was just born 5 seconds ago. Your baby owes 50 grand the second that baby's born.
Wow.
You just thought the milk was expensive. The formula was expensive.
And that's not even the real debt. That's $17 trillion, but the real debt is several hundreds of trillion.
Yeah,
you know?
That's way more
right,
than
that. Yeah. You can find that out on the VFN Torch when you're looking for that. Rick Joyner speaks about that. But listen to this. Understand that this is a now word. This is what we're sharing with you is not just, hey, I got a great little topic I'd like to talk about. No, I would not like to talk about this. And it took the voice of the Lord to encourage me to do it, and then the ramifications of not doing it. But understand, we are having the conversation as it's happening, because so often we disassociate ourselves from the reality which we're in, not realizing people think, oh, this has been here forever.
Right.
It's like, no, it's happening in your very presence, and you have a role to play. There's something, you can change history if you play your part, versus kind of like a voyeuristic viewpoint of everything that is watching things take place, but they're not in it. You know, and the thing is like, we're supposed to be in this. And as we're speaking, we're talking about, you know, this conversation that's been going on in regards to the Alinsky children, Alinsky followers, and Revelations chapter 2, Church of Thyatira, and those who follow those teachings are called the children of the teacher, that here George Soros is showing up. You know, George is, you have to understand, George is, I'm sure he feels why he's doing is right. I'm not, you know, you have to understand, most folks think that they just, they understand what's right is.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to make a utopia. They're trying, but every utopia always ends up in bondage. It ends up in some way. But to be able to do that, you know, you have to understand that you have to be able to track folks. You got to be able to, and we just talked about yesterday about what God has shown me in a vision, how that's exactly what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the number of his name is 666, a prophecy called the beast economy, but it's a vision the Lord just gave me in the context of what we're talking about. So for George and Hillary and all of Alinsky's children to be able to manage this, it's no longer going to be a tattoo on your arm in the camp. And that's what happened. But they're still, as a matter of fact, right this very moment, I'm going to give a big, big shout out to Joanne Padilla in New York as she's ministering at the Presbyterian Hospital in New York to the veterans. She actually has Holocaust survivors that are in there with the tattoo on their arms.
Oh, wow.
Because they had to be able to track, you know, Hitler, the dark organizer, he had to be able to track the folks. And so they would tattoo them. Well, hey, I mean, he talks about that in Revelation chapter 12, right?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
The beast economy. There's got to be, you have to track, man doesn't know everything. So man has to track stuff. And the devil only knows stuff when you tell him. Quit telling all your secrets,
right?
Yeah,
right.
And so in the context of that, that this tracking system, that's the reason why, you know, as you, if you read the whole book, and the book as we're talking about and asking this question about is Rules for Radicals, written by Saul Alinsky, dedicated to Lucifer in the beginning, who was Satan, and giving him a shout out because he was the first one that did what they did, what Saul Alinsky did. But then the thing that shocked us was because when we heard, when the Lord led me to hear, watch Marshall Gantz interview by Bill Moyer on Bill Moyer and Company on PBS, he gives a shout out to Alinsky. And he also gives a shout out to his former boss who hired him to work in his campaign, which is President Barack Obama. And so all this converged in the Holy Spirit just led me. I got to read the book. Well, what are they talking about? Because it seems kind of good when you start thinking about it. It's like, hey, we can organize for some good. And then you start merging past narratives, and you shouldn't merge narratives. Every narrative is totally separate.
Mm-hmm.
And Gantz was talking about merging narratives. And so I just read it. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, the book is dedicated to Lucifer. But in the back of the book, on the very back page, is dedicated to two of Alinsky's students, two of his followers. One who taught his ways, his 13 tactics for 4 years, which is president, wasn't president then, but President Barack Obama, and Hillary Clinton, who, by the way, came into her church and recruited her and brought her out of her church, reports say.
Saul Alinsky did.
Saul Alinsky, yeah. Saul Alinsky did. And wanted to hire her, but she went to college and said she wrote a paper on his tactics, a paper that's sealed to this day. And it's like, come on.
Interesting.
I wish some of my term papers would have been sealed. I wish some of our broadcasts would have been sealed. Can you seal that one broadcast? Just seal it, you know, just seal it. And the truth is, you know, you don't have to worry about what people wrote. You can see who they are by their life that they leave, you know, the fruit. And she was the first lady. She wasn't the first president, although they did say you get two for one when she came in. But they still have it sealed to this day that I know of, and we are open to read it. I would just love to read it. I'm interested because I read Alinsky's book and I heard Marshall Gantz, you know, talk about organizing and using the Lucifer Tip book. And I realized, my goodness, our president taught it for 4 years. And, you know, what is it? And that's what we're talking about. In addition, hopefully we have a chance to talk about Cecil today. Get a chance. Cecil, this is a very, very important revelation about Cecil. So Cecil, if you're out there, you're going to really enjoy this and so much more. We're right back after this message.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
As a supervisor in the workplace, can I pray with a coworker? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I'm a supervisor in an office, and I was recently told that I cannot express my opinion in any way in matters regarding faith or religion or politics. I was also counseled that I cannot pray with staff members in or out of the office, you know, if they approach me.
Well, the idea that your workplace would be a religious-free zone is just absolutely incorrect. And a Bible study or praying with another employee, as long as it's not disruptive to the workplace, that is really what the biggest issue is. We've got great resources, by the way, available on our website at aclj.org. And I'll tell you what I'll do. You hang on the line here, Kim. I'm going to get you in touch with our legal staff at the American Center for Law and Justice, and we're going to get you some help on the situation right away.
The American Center for Law and Justice is dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
If you've ever looked at the church and have thought to yourself, these people are just way too perfect for me to come around them, then you know what? You and I are a lot alike. That was my story. I thought everyone in the church was just perfect, and I was the only one with issues. But guess what? Everyone that comes to Jesus has a background. We don't come to Jesus because we're perfect. We come to Jesus because we need a Savior. And you know, I was at that place. I was at that place where things weren't going right in my life. I was away from God. I was in sin. I was chasing after the world, trying to find an identity, trying to find myself. And the more I kept looking for myself, the more I went deeper and deeper into sin. But then I had an encounter. I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happened, everything changed. Yeah, my life wasn't perfect, but I met the one who is perfect. And with that, I'm absolutely okay. I want to encourage you to read my story. You can read other stories of people that were not perfect, but people who met the perfect one. Mm-hmm. You can go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. We are talking about the hot topics that's happening as we speak. Understand that VFN Radio, VFN TV, comes to you like live, like right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not, you're not listening to something that's, that was, you know, 2 weeks ago or
right.
4 days ago. I mean, this is today.
Mm-hmm.
This is today, and we want to be able to bring a fresh word because we've got to hear what the Spirit says to the church today.
Mm.
So many things going on. If you're 7 days late right now, I mean, it could be over. Mm-hmm. It's a history lesson instead of a prophecy.
That's right.
And nobody wants to hear a prophecy after the fact. You love those guys. I knew exactly that was going to happen. It's
right.
Like, did you just you say you knew and you were too much of a coward to step up and let us know so we could have took a different turn?
Mm.
I just pray that the true prophetic men and women would rise up in boldness and begin to speak it out. Because you understand, if you really knew it, God's going to hold you accountable for not saying it. He says it in Ezekiel 33, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He says that everybody's blood is on your hands.
Right.
That's why we're, you know, it's like,
hey,
that's right.
We have to say it because we got to stand before him. But also think about it. He also says that they may change, they may turn. So our hope is that everybody turns back to God.
Mm-hmm.
The God's people who claim to be his turn back to him.
Yeah.
And then guess what happens? And then God hears from heaven and heals the land.
Right.
And so that's the reason why we're doing this. So it's not something to brag about, to jump up and say, yeah, I knew exactly what. That's just pride, mm-hmm. self-awareness, and wanting self-credit. When the truth is, the credit you're going to get is their blood is on your hands because you should have said something. This is not about you. And we need the prophets, the prophetic people, to stand up and boldly speak, you know. And if you truly have a word from God, and you let us know,
yeah,
you know, let mm-hmm. us know. We want to hear. I mean, like Steve Bailey was talking and sharing some things, and it was an amen, mm-hmm. you know, meeting with him because we actually heard some of the same stuff. And I said, well, great, let's do something about it, you know. but then within 24 hours, less than 24 hours, one of the things that God spoke to him about in more detail was, you know, what's going to happen because of the false teachings, because mm-hmm. of, as Steve Hill talked about in the vision he was shown about the avalanche that's coming down that you can hear about on the VFN Torch. You get to it at VFNTV.com. But in this avalanche, it's a lot of false teachings that are just piling up, being, it's a snow job. It's a snow job.
Wow.
And it's I don't think it's any strange thing at all that that the person who's the whistleblower is named Snowden. Hmm. Because it's just a sign that, you know, we're all just being snowed. You know, really, this is this is a snow job.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that this is what Steve God showed him, is that we got to be able to fire truths into the snow mound. This is what they do based on what I've seen and what I've heard. I'm not a snow skier. It's cold. Anyway, and it's slippery.
Yes, you know, it is.
I'm not into those two things. Is that when snow gets real loose on top of the mountain, it's a dangerous thing, because all of a sudden an avalanche begins to, and there's so much, I'm not going to use the word that comes to Pat's mind, piled up right now on top of this mountain. And think about it. There's so much snow, so much false teaching piled up. And my heart just breaks, because you're seeing folks, it's like, you just got tired of teaching them, folks, so you just started, you thought you needed to conjure something else up. That's, you should have just said, no, be loosed and go teach what I taught you for the last 20 years, you know, and then go find some more folks or something. But don't start coming up with new doctrine. My goodness. And that message undid all everything else that was done. And so you got to fire these truths into that, because if you fire, they fire shots into this avalanche, potential avalanche, it's all this soft snow sitting on top of the mountain. Then it, and it causes smaller avalanches, and then so the stuff still does still happen, but this huge avalanche. Because I'd always think, you know, what snow? You know, what snow's so light?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
snow's.
You haven't been around snow. That's spoken from a person who's never shoveled and a person who's never walked.
Well,
no.
I did. Well, we want to hear your snow job. We want to hear about what happened there. But the I always that was my perception, though. My perception was, it's light. What's the big deal? Yeah, it's stupid what he's saying, but it's no big deal. Right. It's like, hey, that's a flake of snow, and it's gonna pile up, and it's gonna cause an avalanche. You have to say, with all love and respect, that's not true.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
In the analogy of snow, of course. I was in Brooklyn, and my car was snowed in, but I still had the, here's snow everywhere. Mm. And I'm thinking, it's so light, because you can pick it up little by little, and it's just so light.
Yeah.
Mm.
And so I shoveled just a few pathway out, a little small little driveway out type thing at the Brooklyn shipyard there. And, but I left a little snow that's still there. I'm thinking, I'll just knock it out of the way, right?
Out, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was like packing a cannon, man. Next thing you know, exhaust is coming in my car. Like, it was amazing how significant flakes are. Yeah. You got to pay attention to flakes because flakes produce huge mountains of
stuff.
Flaky gospel, flaky messages, and it stacks up, and it doesn't look like it's going to harm you, but one flake after another flake after another flake, and next thing you know, I mean, you're packed in, and all of a sudden a snowplow can come past you and just shove all this false teaching over you and those that you're actually been, you know, flaking out on, and all of a sudden you're just like held captive. Right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's not, you know, bad, but rest assured, if you hang around the snow long enough and you have to deal with the ramifications of all the flakes that look pretty when they were, people are like, yeah, they're individual flakes and they come down. Well, the truth is not, there's not such thing as an individual, different, separate identity truth every single time that comes down. That's snowflakes. That's not the gospel.
Right.
The gospel is the same. It's not different every time somebody preaches it.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
That's the thing about a snowflake, you know, it's like a fingerprint. Everyone's totally different. And it's like, that's with flakes. That's not with the gospel. Mm-hmm. And we're not supposed to have a different gospel, not another Jesus. And so all this stuff is piled up. It's just piled up. And so we've got to begin to speak truth. So if you'll rise up and begin to speak truth, and that's what, imagine that. Imagine you fire this truth, these words. I mean, Jesus said that his tongue is a sword. So when you speak those words, that truth out, don't worry about, a lot of flakes are going to flake out. But understand, it'll go right into that soft snow, and it'll break it up some. And you fire another shot, and you fire another shot. And in love now, you're coming just against the false teaching, not against the individual who's held captive to Lucifer's will to flake out. You actually want them to make it. But you have to deal with this, because this is what God was showing Steve Hill, and you can actually hear this and see this on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. There's an avalanche, and it's about to come. Mm-hmm. It's about to pour down, and I can see it. And they're just flaking it up, man. They got so many flakes falling on top of it.
And many will be lost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People say, well, the Lord's not going to come back. But see, you understand this. If the bus hits you today, it doesn't matter when the Lord's coming back, because you just went to go see him.
That's right. It's over.
If you end up, and this is the whole thing. My amazement about snow was that the second you get covered with a whole bunch of flakes, the second you allow your relationships to be with a whole bunch of flakes, you can't breathe anymore. You have to be carrying oxygen with you. They'll suffocate you. And you'll wonder, what's going on? It was just light snow, but next thing you know, I got flakes all around me, right? But it's snow. And so their biggest concern is when you get caught, in an avalanche, is that you suffocate. You suffocate. You're not going to be able to breathe anymore. And it's just so in tune with the reality of false teachings, because it just seems so light, that one flake. But you have to understand, there's a lot of flakes. There's a lot of things coming down, but since 97% of the church is not even reading the Word according to George Barna, really, 81% is not even touching their Bibles at all, and we're depending on the flakes whoever they are. I mean, he said, you know them by their fruit, but if you've never spent any time with them and you don't know their life and don't know people who walk with them or have people who can testify of their life, you don't know. You don't know. It could be a flake, piling up on top of your mountain. And so I just want to encourage you, and God's just confirmed this very specifically, that, and that's what our desire is, any huge flakes over you, any huge mountain over you right now that's been raining down false teachings, we just wanted to say, we want to come against that and say, come off of him, come off of her in Jesus' name. We just pray for the ability to breathe the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name.
We want to thank all of you, those that are listening today. We want you to support our underwriters, ADTS in Pensacola. Listen, if you need a security system for your home or for your business, they do monitoring, they do security cameras. They're in Pensacola.
I'd get one.
Cordova Lanes. Listen, a great opportunity to take your family out in Pensacola.
Yeah.
It's great fun. Steve says, listen, no one gets bench in bowling. Every child gets a chance to play. Take them out there to Cordova Lanes. And I want to also encourage you to visit the Coffee House. Again, in Pensacola, Navy Boulevard, they've got fresh coffee, a warm, inviting setting, and they make freshly made sandwiches. Thank you to all of our underwriters.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Go to VFNTV. Go to VFNTV.com. This is VFN Radio you're listening to. Go to VFNTV.com and go to VFNTV in your menu, and you'll see a prophetic teaching about this generation. It's called This Generation. And it's time for us to wake up and respond. And it's going to encourage you, because it's going to give you a perspective that if not, the things that we won't give up now, God will have taken away from us.
Mm-hmm.
He'll look, and there's raiders coming in as we speak, trying to raid the coffers, the government, the taxes, the freedoms, the Constitution, all these different things. But understand that God is allowing that. He's not doing it. He's allowing it to take place. It's his permissive will because of the choices that we've made, and he's intentionally allowing it. It's intentional. There's always somebody that wants to raid you,
mm-hmm.
but he's keeping them back. And then, if we don't respond, it just escalates and gets worse in regards to that. Even being sold as a slave to your enemy. Slavery didn't start in America. Slavery's been around since day one. Even Jesus said, as Christians, slaves obey your masters as unto the Lord. If you can get your freedom, get your freedom. So in the context of that, it was just an everyday conversation then. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be sold to my enemy. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
I don't want to be sold to my enemy, but I can't be in rebellion to God and think that the end's going to be good. And it may happen on an individual basis. You got to listen to this. Listen to it. It's called This Generation. And what it is you have a pagan generation. But it's not unusual for a generation who has not yet
received or didn't receive the gospel being transferred to their generation to be paganistic. But there's hope. There is hope, and God has a way to do that. Go to VFNTV.com and choose VFNTV on the menu and look for This Generation and begin to listen to it now and share it with your friends. It's a prophetic word for this day and this time.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg, and joining me is Pat and John. Welcome to all of our Christian Television Network audience and all those around the world.
Yes.
We are here to obey Jesus Christ, who said, be the light of the world. That's L-I-G-H-T. Giving kind of a light perspective to things, and at times, even light moments. But understand this, that we have a responsibility. For those that know our lives, you know, EZ12, EZ12.org is a very important thing because, you know, we're a sign. Mm-hmm. You know, we are a sign, and we need those who know us to stand up and see everything and don't be like Israel was at one point when all this thing was happening along the side and they didn't even pay attention to what God was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because if we'll listen, and this is, I'm just seeing this in my heart. I'm seeing it because I believe there's so many people who love God, so many people who love the nation that God has blessed us with, that no matter what flakes are out there, for example, or what craziness is going on, that we in our own communities, our own states, for example, or our own neighborhoods or whatever, you know, God can put a glory zone there. I mean, we can walk. I mean, it happens around the world. I mean, you can, if you go and explore transformational videos that are out there done by the founder of, the son of the founder of Cessna or whatever, Jet.
I don't know.
I know. His daddy's money. He went around and traveled around, you know, documenting things and all that.
Warren Buffett.
No.
I thought it was Warren Buffett.
Wrong documentary.
We're talking about Jesus, man.
Yeah, I thought you said Warren Buffett's son.
No pun intended, Warren.
His son is feeding people. Yeah, wrong narrative. When you said daddy's money.
I'm sorry. I am just, I was just thinking about, yeah, you're right. His son's taking over the culture of the company and all that. But this is the guy that did the transformational videos. He would go into a place that did, in the middle of all darkness, they transform. They cried out to God and they said, we want to do what's right, government all the way down. And then God began to bless all their vegetation, their dirt, their concept. I mean, everything was blessed. Mm-hmm. And bars closed down and became places churches. The church gathered. Mm-hmm. And they were in stadiums just crying out to God. And so there can be a momentary, you know, glory zone. And why not? Why not believe and live in the Goshen?
Mm.
I mean, understand, everything was falling apart. Everything was falling apart. At the time, God prepared a place for his people called Goshen. He did it through a persecuted son, a persecuted brother, which who they meant for evil. But understand, it came to a point, if they would listen, if they would have listened to Joseph, God had a plan. And what they meant for evil, Joseph said that God meant it for good so that he could actually bring them into a place when this famine hits the world, you know, that you can take his people and put them into Goshen. And Goshen was the best of the best of what was to offer in Egypt because God had promoted Joseph from slavery, from betrayal to slavery, to the house, you know, to the help, to, you know, sexual, falsely accused as a sexual predator by Potiphar's wife, locked up in prison management, betrayal in the prison, all this kind of stuff. To finally, he goes, hey, we need Joseph to run the country.
Right.
And most of us like, I ain't touching your country with a 10-foot pole the way you guys treated me. But and he was very humble about it. He just said, you know, whatever. And but God was setting things up because suddenly God was orchestrating all that so that when his brothers came to him down the road because famine hit them, and all of a sudden they're thinking like, we got to go to Egypt. You know, we got to go to Egypt. And of course, their dad is really concerned about the whole thing because they already lost one son.
Right.
You know, and finally they talked him into to going, but they didn't bring Ben. You know, Benjamin, they left Benjamin there because their dad said, I'm not going to lose Benjamin too. And I'm not going to lose the son of my right hand. And so they go and they look, and of course Joseph sees, they don't recognize, I mean, it's amazing. When you look at the one that you persecuted for so long and you talked so bad about for so long, and you felt so guilty about how you treated him so bad, there's no way that God could have blessed them and used them and promoted them while your life's falling all apart. So your brain can't even have a grid. They're looking right at their own brother and they don't even know Joseph. And so he says to them, he says, well, you're going to need to, long story short, go. Don't you have another brother? And they're thinking, oh my goodness, how does he know? You know, you bring Benji back, you bring Benjamin back, and then, we'll chat. Of course, they don't care. They don't care about Joseph. They're just thinking about themselves. They go back and say, tell their dad, you've got to take Ben. He's like, no, you're not. Long story short, they take him and he keeps him. And they find out who he is. And the first thing they thought was, despite what they're looking at you like, and they act like, you know, that this is justifiable. When the truth hits, the reality of what they've done their entire life to you hits them suddenly. And they realize we deserve terrible things to happen to us right now. And because they figured, you know, we said terrible things about this brother of theirs. What happened was he just forgave them and told them, go get dad, you know, and I got a place for you. And he had a place called Goshen. And I'm telling you, this is nothing new. I mean, I'm telling you what God's already sown into my heart to be able to tell you, encourage you. There is a Goshen for his people, but you get there by following God. You get there by repenting on how you treated your brothers and your sisters. You get there by saying, you know, you got to abide because you got to know that he says no longer live here. You're actually going to have to go into a place that he called you out of, Egypt. But in that place, Egypt, he's going to protect you in the best land, the best everything, because he's put a person in a strategic place there that's going to make sure that you're taken care of. So all your little flaky teachings and stuff that says that can't happen, that's against the word of God. God can do anything. And he can put somebody in Egypt up under a Pharaoh who's worshiping the devil, put somebody there who hears his voice and can make sure you're taken care of. And give him the wisdom and the ability to interpret the dream he gave Pharaoh, not Joseph, the ability to interpret the dream. So, by the way, it goes to show you, just because you get a dream don't mean you know God. It may mean you need to find somebody who does know God so they can give you the interpretation of that dream, because if Pharaoh wouldn't have looked for a man of God, he would have collapsed with everybody else. And God told him the famine was coming. And I'm telling you now, some real, real tough times coming. This is what he says. He says, when I dry up the heavens so that there's no rain, when I bring famine amongst my people, when I send locusts to divide, this is God. You know, in other words, when this, and it's happening right now. I mean, everything, just like he says, happening. He says, but if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and heal their land. It's so important. You know, don't believe your insurance company who says stuff like, you know, in some way they are prophesying. They go, you know, that we insure you for everything but acts of God. You know, and it's like, well, which one, sir, is the act of God and which one's not? That's a pretty rough place to be as an insurance company, right? But understand this, that God does allow these things to happen to bring us back to a place. And when this whole thing was going on and God was bringing in Joseph's brothers and the families and all, they're about 70 family members and some others. but he was going to bring them out of this place. A few years later, I would say about, what, 400 years?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
40,
yeah.
Million. A million. Think about it. A million folks coming out of this place. And he's going to take them into the wilderness again, where he brought them from. But this time, he was going to be the grain. He was going to be the manna. Wow. He was going to be the water. He was going to show them who he was.
All right.
And this is the God. God wants to show himself to you. Don't get caught up in the horizontal, political, flaky teaching stuff, whatever. Realize God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. And that if you get this right, if you humble yourself and you get this right and you follow the red letters, you follow John chapter 15, verse, you know, 1 and on, talking about how to abide with Jesus, go to iabide.org. If you don't have an abiding plan, begin to abide with him.
Mm-hmm.
He can take you on a journey that brings you out of a wilderness, protects you in the time of a famine from a very place that he's going to bring you out of that oppresses you in the future, only to take you to a place, not only to give you grain while you were there in a place of bondage, the best grain available, but now he's going to give you manna from heaven and water from a rock, and he's going to forgive your sins and bring you into relations, and he's going to show himself to you. You're going to go to the tent of meetings, and you're going to meet the Father. He's got a plan going on here. So I just want to encourage you that understand that God is always walking out his narrative, his story, what he is doing. And men tried to prostitute that, and they tried to incorporate their narratives. But listen, this is the narrative. God loves you. He loves you deeply enough to die for you, to take your sin on and say, listen, I will not hold this against you if you make my son, Jesus Christ, the Lord of your life and depend totally and completely upon his finished work, what I did through him on the cross, and begin to allow him, as you abide with him, to lead you by my spirit into all righteousness for my name's sake. Let me tell you something. I got a journey waiting for you. It's going to bless your socks off.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
There is nothing, I mean nothing, Pat, worse than man's religion.
Yeah.
You know, man's attempt to work his way to God.
Right.
You know, I'm just trying to get right in my own works and stuff. And there's nothing more enjoyable than a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. And that he's called us to walk in intimacy with him. I mean, the statement, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is not just some pat answer to let somebody know that you're saved. The question is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you guys chat? Do y'all talk?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you hear him? Do you know his voice? And that, you know, and you may be listening right now and thinking, I didn't know you could do that. I just listened to my preacher talk, or I just listened to my pastor speak, or I listened to teachers, or I read other people who heard from God. Which is, you know, that's cool. But God loves you and wants to talk to you.
Right.
You know, and people want, they want this. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they just need a simple plan to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you can find that plan. We have a plan for you that can begin you on a simple abiding plan. Because he says in John 15, apart from abiding with me, Jesus says this,
you can
do nothing.
Right.
And if you want to get freedom in your life, you want to begin to do something, you know what I'm saying? And watch what God's able to do. Begin from the point of success, which is abiding with him. You can go right now to iabide.org, just like the iPhone, iabide.org. Read a little bit about it. If you like it, go ahead and write there, request an abiding plan. Immediately, you'll be given an abiding plan. It has a video, has how to do it, some simple little steps to do it. And it's not as complicated as religion made it out to be. Listen, God wants to talk with you.
Mm-hmm.
You can write your own devotional. Listen,
just
try it for 6 weeks. Just say, you know, for 6 weeks, I'm going to begin, because they say it takes about 40 days to build a habit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take 6 weeks out of your life and say, you know, for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to abide daily at a certain time, at a certain place. And it has all this kind of tell you how to do it. And just watch what happens and see how your life begins. Watch how God begins to speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
You can find this at iabide.org. Request your free plan today at iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg. Joining me is Pat and John. The there's this guy. He had a dog. His dog, you know. Well, imagine this.
Yes.
Right. I'm trying to imagine.
He's writing baseball notes.
There you go. Baseball.
These two guys were walking down this dirt road. They're walking down this dirt road, and they kept hearing this dog just howling, like, "Arr! I can't do that. Can you do it?
Mm-mm.
No.
Try it. Let's see.
Do it? No. Ow. See.
Like your dog does.
Come out. My dog has a real bark. He's a Dober.
That other thing.
He's a Doberman.
That mop looking thing.
That's not my dog.
Oh my goodness. Anyway,
I wouldn't claim him either.
Anyway, so
right, nobody's claiming him right now.
So they're walking down this dirt road and they hearing this dog just you know, carrying on, and they just keep talking and walking a little bit more, and then all of a sudden, finally, this guy looks at his friend and he says, you know, "What is that? What is that noise?" He goes, "Oh, that's my dog." He goes, "It's your dog?" He goes, "Yeah, he's on the front porch of the house." He's like, "Oh, what's wrong with him? I mean, my goodness." He goes, kind of shaking his head in disgust. He's like, "He's laying on a nail." It's like, his friend's like, "What? He's laying on a nail." He's like, "Well, why doesn't your dog just move?" And he shakes his head and he says, "I know." He said, "It just doesn't hurt bad enough yet."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, I've heard so many Cecils. You know, it's just like, "Oh," and it's like, "Dude, you're laying on a nail." Mm-hmm. Every decision you make is causing pain in your life, pain in your relationship, pain in your country, pain in your community. And you're howling. I mean, you probably have friends that y'all just howl to the moon every night. And God just shakes his head. Mm. Somebody says, "What is that?" And then Shane shakes his head. It's like, "They're just laying on a nail."
Mm.
And the question is, why won't you move? Because it ain't hurting bad enough yet.
Mm.
And just because it causes you discomfort, it obviously is not hurting bad enough to cause you to make a decision. And minimum force necessary is the tools of our Father. That he says, consider hardship as disciplining. Discipline. I'm treating you as a son. And so if a verbal, sweet whisper of the Holy Spirit says, "Don't do that," if that doesn't work, the next thing is, "Don't do it." And if that doesn't work, knock it off. Mm-hmm. And if that doesn't work, then he has somebody come to you and tells you what. I mean, it's just progressively minimum force necessary. And then as it builds, and if you stay, you know, keep howling, and you're embarrassing your father, by the way. I mean, you're laying on a nail. Mm. You're laying on a nail. At least shut up. You know, if you're not going to get out of the sin, quit complaining about it.
That's right.
It's consequences. And it's like, so here all of a sudden, you know, it will get serious. It will get so serious to all of a sudden, the Father God loves you so much that he will take you to the woodshed.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't be the same again.
No, you won't.
You will not be the same again. But guess what? You won't howl anymore.
We'll take care of that.
You won't howl anymore. And speaking of that. And so the question is, does it hurt bad enough yet?
Mm.
Because right now, you know, we're looking, we're like, "Let's do this thing." And you're looking around and I mean, you can hear the howling in the woods. You can hear the howling on, you know, radio. You can hear the howling on Facebook. You can hear the howling everywhere. but you don't see the feet moving yet. Everybody's Mm-mm. still laying on the nail. Mm-hmm. They're still laying on the nail. You have this. America is a government by the people and for the people. God waits on us to obey him before he begins to move. God chooses to work through men. So you have a country that's waiting for you to move and a God that's waiting for you to move while you're sitting there going, ho, it's like, hey, you're going to have to do something, you know, you got to do something. But I remember speaking of howling dogs, Pat and I were in California and we were in California.
Oh my goodness.
We were in California and we're in the Northern California in the mountains and on this farm like place. A funny farm. And and so I saw this dog. And this dog trying to figure out, you know, what's wrong with this dog? And this dog would go, oh, oh, right? Oh, and he would just stress and strain. Oh, you're thinking, I've never seen a dog do this. And he was so intense. He was like, oh, oh, it was real quiet, you know? And finally, I had to ask the dog's owner. I said, what's wrong with your dog? What is wrong with your dog? And they said, well, he said that he was barking so much, we cut his vocal cords out.
Oh, my God.
So the dog's going, oh.
Wow.
Yeah, and so we wanted to keep our vocal cords and keep the voice that God's given us. Right. So we just thought, like, well, it's nice knowing you. Blessed to see you. Bye. Got to go. Gotta go. Is this not?
Yeah.
That's true. Oh.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow, that is so interesting. On that note, we do want you to visit our underwriters and all of our sponsors. You know, we have a great sponsor, and all of them are great, but Glenn Parker there at Allen Automotive, Allen Turner Automotive in Car City, Pensacola. Listen, you're looking for a car. There's so many places to go to. You don't know anyone. You don't know what to do. Glenn is a great guy who'll walk you through the process, and he really makes buying a car simple and easy. Chris would know he was able to get a vehicle from them, and it's still riding wonderfully today. Also, I want you to visit Shotgun Barbecue in Pensacola. Mm. If you're looking for some great barbecue, if you want a great burger, they're on Nama Road, Pensacola. James is a great guy. They're cooking it up out there, and it's an authentic barbecue. Listen, voted number one Memphis in the Bay. Visit Shotgun Barbecue, Pensacola, Florida.
Well, you know, I want to be able to, speaking of original intent of our nation, I want to ask you guys a couple questions. And I feel confidently you're going to get them right.
This time,
for all those that are watching us on CTN, you can see it. Yeah, and all those, it's like, you know, all those who are on radio, I have given them the answers.
Oh, okay.
So they've got, this is an open constitution test.
Oh, okay.
This is, by the way,
not the last test.
It is an open constitution test. You can read it anytime you want. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask you a question. And as you're thinking about what the answer is, in other words, you're looking at all your notes.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to give you time to actually look it over. You're going to hear, which gives you time to be able to look it up and gives our audience time to be able to think about this. This is so important because our Constitution is what we're made up of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a very important thing. This is where you get your rights from. This is why a police officer has to have a probable cause to be able to search you or stop you in these different things, and why a lot of other things. And so it's important to know. This is the original intent. And, of course, if you get it wrong or you're thinking too long. And if you get it right, of course. And if we just feel like it.
The gong show.
Yeah. So here it is. This, look at him looking intently in a note. You can see it right now.
Look at the beads. Look at the beads.
This is the question. What year?
He's reading, speed reading.
What year did George Washington get his first wig? He's looking at the paper. He's looking at the paper.
I know it's there.
Yeah, I know it's there. Okay, what year was the Declaration of Independence signed? What year was the Declaration of Independence signed? John.
1776.
Very good. Pat. What day was it signed?
Monday.
What day?
July 4th.
Oh, very good. Very good.
Maybe you stopped the noise.
He has an answer. What are you talking about? You right. See?
That's very good. So when you're celebrating, it's not about just hot dogs and firecrackers.
Mm.
Those fireworks represent the battle that was taking place for our country, the American Revolution that was taking place. So that's what think about it. It's not about this beautiful thing to make you feel good.
Right.
It's to remember they fought for our country in the context of that. John.
Mm.
So that's when we declared our independence from King who?
George.
That's right. Whose mother told him what? Go be king.
Okay.
Go be king. He was like, they're taking my gun to England from us. Like, go be king. Like I told you to. Anyway, so anyway.
Oh, gosh.
I know. Anyway, and so what year after we declared our independence in the context of this, then we had to write out, you know, how are we going to operate this thing?
Mm-hmm.
How, because we want it to be a government that the people are. No more kings, right? Because we declared our independence from the whole concept of kings and tyranny and all that. So they began to write a particular document, and they're going to write out in this thing how we were going to be made, how America was going to operate. What is that document, Pat? What's the document?
The U.S. Constitution.
Very good. Mm-hmm. In what year was the U.S. Constitution signed?
1778.
Very good. It's so much smoother when we give the answers out, isn't it? And, you know, we're really wanting you to think about this. We're wanting you to get your brain to get thinking about this. And one last thing before we go, John.
Yes.
John Paul. What year was the Bill of Civil Rights, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, what year were they signed in? You know it already? What was it?
1791.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Producer. We had a wonderful program. We'll see you on the other side.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. My friend, I want to say too to those that are on the our Apple applications out there, make sure you go to iTunes and, you know, write a review. There's people, you know, they're going to be coming and they're looking and they're trying to find encouraging words and, you know, what they can, you know, I want something to listen to. I want something to view that's going to encourage me during these times. And of course, we're getting feedback from all of a lot of our listeners and viewers that, and new people will be coming from around the world. You know, we have all the way from Okinawa to Texas and throughout in Oregon
and Africa.
And Africa. I mean, it's all around the world. in America. And so they'll read your review. So go to iTunes, you know, type in VFN TV, and you'll find the application there. You can download it. But also, once you listen for a while, once you watch, then say, you know what, I'm going to write a review. And so other people, it's a way for you to help win people to the Lord, to encourage them to tune in to VFN Radio.